I think we're recording. We are recording. All right. So, Tino von Struckmann, thank you for being on the show. If you want to find everything from Tino, just check out lostbattlefields.com. It's all there. So, it's a good place to start. And, of course, he has a phenomenal YouTube channel with amazing content. There's a new one about, now I can't remember his name, Kamler. You know, he just did a two-part on that, and I shamefully haven't seen it from all of part one yet, but that is quite the that is quite an interesting one. Then you just put one out today on Star Forts, the greatest Star Fort. So no lack of amazing content that Tino is kicking out. So how are you doing in your kind of fire torn region right now?
Well, you know, I'm feeling a little bit like a smoked sausage out here. It's been raining ashes for the past couple of weeks. And all of last week, I was not this past week, the week before when the fire started, I was up there and up in the Palisades almost every day or every night to get stuff out. You know, it's a little bittersweet because fortunately, not that many people died. Fortunately, and I love our firefighters. I did some work with them, with the guard early on some months ago. I was attending some of their drills with Cal Fire, and every one of our unit stood up like we're ready to get deployed, and we never got the call. Half of my old unit, the 79th, were out doing parking after a week. They're out doing traffic control and stuff. But now we're sort of into the. I think we're getting to the tail end of it. The last fires were 49% contained. And now the questions are really going to start. And maybe people are going to start thinking a little bit more seriously about how and why this happened. Now that all the prominent people in the state have had their photo ops in the middle of the fire, which is a little shameful. And so now maybe we can get on, and maybe this will be a shift of mindset for California, because we really don't have good leadership, and we haven't had for many, many, many years. And now here it shows. This is what it shows. If you don't have good leaders who understand and care, then this happens. And we had all the signals. We knew when you hear people like Gruesome Newsom stand and say, "Wow, it's unprecedented." No, it's not. This happens every year, several times a year. Every firefighter of repute have said this will one day go completely wrong. The basin was emptied a year ago in February by one of the DEI hires. And you have, I mean, every bit of the leadership is basically a DEI hire. So you have people who are hired not because of the qualifications. And now this will come home to roost. If people actually wake up and see through, oh, this is climate change. Oh, no, it's not climate change. This is just a result of bad leadership. And that's something I think we've seen. We've lacked that inspiration. And I think after the Second World War, I thought it was interesting that a lot of soldiers came back and became teachers. They became superintendents in schools, universities, colleges. You had teachers that were inspirational. And I think that's one thing you lack now. Now you have teachers that are activists. And if you're young and impressionable, you look up to the person of authority you have in your school or in the media. And I think now, especially over the past 4 or 5 years that we just talked about, it's become more and more apparent that having an activist in charge is a negative. You want somebody who have actually stood up and led, somebody who has the merits to lead in spite. And so I hope people are starting to wake up and turn away from the, I don't want to do a religious quote, but the false idol they've been given in the media. Because you have, and it was funny, I was up there and I got medicines and bits of doctor's papers, important things out of houses that were about to be overrun or they couldn't return to. So that's what I was doing all last week. And I was starting, this was the last day I brought my camera and just did a little filming of everything. And I noticed that all the reporters up there are running around in firefighters' jackets. with cameras and stuff. And I looked at these guys. I was, who are you? I'm figuring that, oh, we're from Cal Fire or something. Oh, we're from the CNBC or ABC or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, who the hell are you people? Like, why are you wearing that stuff? And it's just like everybody wanted to try to stand in front of the kid. We all saw the idiot with his, with a clothespins, like, so he could look nice and slender in the firefighter jacket. And it's like they all want to try to be the hero on TV. I am the spokesman. I am the journalist. I am the voice of. And people used to look up to that. But guess what? Walter Cronkite is dead. Mm-hmm. And no one has really picked up. And I think it's a very interesting that people are now starting to wake up to who's actually bringing them something to look up to. I've seen, I saw dudes on motorcycles, and I think it was the helmet cameras, literally drive right through the fire and while filming it. Either it's because they're complete morons or because they wanted to show, get some really good footage, but okay, you're not going to, let me see one of the reporters do that, put themselves in actual fire.
Yeah.
And I think that might be it, we might go back to people we can look up to because of their merit and what they've done.
Well, definitely. Yeah. A lot of the, it's like, I know it's what they do, and they want to get the, you know, create the content. They want the good opportunity, but at the same time, kind of like you're alluding to, citizen journalists are actually making it happen. I mean, the mainstream media, let's call it, they'll put on their firefighting outfit and stand in front of a something burning, you know, yeah. and say, look at this, everything's burning, you know, back to you, Ted. But the citizen journalist on their little electric bike, which is kind of like a small bomb, you know, I don't know about riding it through fire. They're in the shit. I mean, literally, they dive in. And like the rest of the world would not know exactly what happened if they didn't ride in. I mean, they were, I think some of them got in more trouble than they really expected. They were kind of escaping the fire, but they, there was no media there other than them, but they showed up.
I mean, it's now fairly well known that real news or real news stories will be broken on Twitter at least a half an hour before mainstream media will pick it up. Or
yeah.
I guess they also have to run it through all their political filters and figure out who's to blame or whose side and whatever nonsense. Where I, Jane Doe is standing out on the balcony filming whatever it is on her phone live. So yeah. We have a different type of news. I mean, I think the mainstream news is as good as dead as it can be. I don't think our Europeans have figured that out yet. Mm-hmm. So I think they are figuring it out. But I don't think they're not quite there yet. They still, to some degree, believe the disinformation media. But they can still see what's being filled on the street, what's actually happening around them, because normal people are now able to show. And I see a lot of the mainstream journalists, the names have dropped in, they've gone down in pay scale quite a bit, because they just don't matter anymore.
They don't matter.
In the same way that now everybody can go out and film a movie. Everybody have seen themselves on a YouTube movie or online movie and name talent in movies. I mean, I work in the film business. I have no idea who the latest star names are. I really don't. I also really don't watch movies anymore because there haven't really been any good for the past 10 years. But now you can have independent movies that are much better. And you see a whole, it's like this whole turnover where everybody can be their own little on-screen hero, which sometimes is a bad thing because, well, I guess some of the more entertaining ones, and then sometimes it might be a good thing because it gives a venue for people with talent if they can break through.
Yeah, it is the you know, people you can, wow, with the latest iPhone 16, well, even before then, you can pretty much, well, make a movie. I mean,
they shot a movie with iPhone, didn't they? They shot a movie.
But they have a couple, I think, really. Probably, yeah. And so, and they've only gotten better since then. So, yeah, I mean, there you go. There's some inspiration right there. It's really the citizen journalist, even those who didn't plan on being a citizen journalist that day, then those who do it, you know, because that's how they make their living or they just enjoy it. But yeah, I mean, we had citizen journalists riding into the fire, riding through the fire. We did not have mainstream media doing that at all, you know.
I mean, look at the Ukraine war. Now you have fought real live, real time, from both sides. I mean, we've seen that to some degree, but never like this. You would have embedded reporters that would film their specific and shown segments, and everything was still fairly sterile. Now every private at the front is streaming something. Most of it is you know, a little too violent for YouTube and for
kind of Telegram only.
Yeah, I wonder what that was all about. Why the French went after him, the founder of Telegram? Because I think they wanted access to his data. I think that's what they really wanted. They wanted to be able to. They wanted to hem him up so they could get access to the conversations on his platform, or the non-public ones. I would imagine. I'm just guessing that might be.
Oh no, for sure. I would say that It really is naive for anyone to, I would just be like public service announcement. It is naive to think that anything is actually secret, private, however you might want to put it. It's not anonymous, you know, because
and it's funny, we have all these Western democratic governments who really don't like people having secret conversations.
No, they don't.
I think this was democracy, freedom of speech and all. I mean, America, we have freedom of speech. We have freedom of speech that would land us in jail in Germany, in Austria, and in England. Oh my dear God, England has fallen really to the point where they're trying to put out a law banning conversations in pubs that are controversial. They're locking people up for Twitter posts, for Facebook posts, while they're letting out their rapists and their violence if they're immigrants. But anybody complaining about how the mass rapists are being let out, or the child molesters are being let out because they're immigrants, they go to jail for complaining about it. England has gone completely lost their mind, and the police chief in London said, "Well, if Americans are tweeting something about this, they might be liable to go to jail if they come to England."
Yeah, they want to extradite. I think there's been talk of that. I mean, of course, I mean, like it's all talk at the moment, but it's, you know,
democracy in action, right? And I think it's the same thing. I mean, we had our State Department with the Secret Service, not the Secret, the State Department, and the CIA and others who have meddled extensively in elections around the world lately. And they don't like people having conversations they can't read.
No, they don't.
The CIA op that was closed down the same day. They had a listening program that closed down the very same day Facebook started.
Yes, true. Yeah,
you saw that too. Yeah, I can't remember the name of it, but that kind of stuff happens all the time. And I think that's what they did with Telegram. Like, well, we don't have the key to read his stuff. We don't like that. So let's make up some charges, lock him up, and say, all right, you let us in, and we let you go.
Yeah,
and that's what happened.
Yeah, I think so too. That's the same with whether it's Proton Mail or whether it's any VPN service, or, you know, like when there's going to be somebody who's got the keys, there's going to be somebody who has the ability to, you know, create that back door, you know, when they get thrown in a cell and the, you know, jumper cables come out for the testicles, I mean, they're going to, that's, you know, so everybody like, be careful what you say. I mean,
and then when there's a change of government, and all of a sudden they go kiss the ring, look at Zuckerberg, like, oh, no, I was really made to say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He was really made to say that. So there's a good inspiration right there. It's everybody who, you know, everybody, if you're here in the Western world, if you're in America, talk as much it as you possibly can, you know, push, because it's like, hopefully we can create a bit of a force field and keep our freedom of speech, because in a sense, if we're not being edgy, if you're not pushing it, if you're not going a little bit beyond that, you know, it's like, I think David Bowie said, you know, when it comes to being creative, you want to like walk out into the ocean and on the beach until you can't quite keep your head above water. And that's when you get started. You know, you want to be uncomfortable. So really, we should, you know, do our free speech, put forth as much truth as we can and of some value until we feel uncomfortable. I mean, and then push it a little more. Yeah.
There cannot be democracy without free speech.
Mm-hmm.
If anything have to be, it's just because people say things I don't like in media all the time. I just, what am I going to sue them? I'm just going to change the channel and stop listening or not care. I mean, offense, I take offense of things all the time, What am I going to, I'm not going to roll up into a ball and call my lawyer every time some idiot up on the hill says something stupid. No, yeah. I'm doing nothing else because I have a life. And I think that's a problem with a lot of these actors. They don't have a life. They do is they sit home and they, it's with the on, what is it now, with the online, what's it called? They're not going to do censorship. They're going to do community notes.
Oh gosh. Facebook. Great. I think, yeah.
Who has time to do community notes? Mm-hmm. Who has, I mean, people, good, hardworking Americans with plenty of time. Do they have time for this? The people with their family and kids, who has time to sit and make community notes on every post? That's what troubles me. It's usually not the people with skin in the game.
Yeah, it's going to be a crap ton of people. If it's anybody, it's going to be a crap ton of people that are hired. You know, someone's going to be making money to make those community notes.
Or it's the blue-haired Karen sitting at home still living in her mom's basement who wants to complain about everything.
Covered in cat fur. Our couches are all shredded. There's a litter box in the middle of the living room. Oh, you know,
every time I make fun of cat ladies, I get shit even on my channel, and it's fine. But I will stand by, you know, if single women have multiple cats.
Red flag. It's just, it is.
That may be an indication that they will forever be single. I don't know. There's a lot. I have a lot of guy friends that have cats too, and they'll get a raised eyebrow too. But it's just like, I don't know. Having a dog is a buddy that comes with you. Having the cat just tells you to stay home.
Exactly.
I don't know what goes on in cat families. Although I had a friend that came over. I had a bunch of people over for the hall for Christmas and New Year. And I'm sitting there at the table and like, oh, let me see what my cat is doing. Oh, look what she, oh, she broke a vase. I'm like, you called your cat. Okay, now let me explain to you why you're single, young lady.
If
you go on a date and you tell your date, hang on, I have to call my cat, it will probably not go as you may have hoped it would.
Yeah, he's going to run because he just felt his testosterone drop like 15% just listening to you do that. I'm out.
I mean, at least guys with dogs, they'll bring the dog to the table. That's my dog.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah.
We insulted half of everybody on.
And you know, a real man can own a Pomeranian or a Chihuahua too. Hey, you know, they can. It doesn't have to be like a Belgian Malinois or a German Shepherd. It can be, you know, something a little bit more domesticated.
Picture up in the bike shop, a little cute picture.
Yeah.
And she'll come crawling up. If I don't pick her up, she'll crawl her way up my leg and sit on my shoulder. And then they inherited a French bulldog who's very rambunctious and runs around. And then they inherited a pit bull girl who was now 7 months old, bigger than all of them. So this poor little pincher is kind of like, I'm the old lady here and everybody's running over me.
I'm sure she stands her ground. Yeah.
Dogs just make everything better.
Oh, they certainly do.
Okay, now, want to talk about heroes? Let's talk about anti-heroes. I saw the ad. Of course, everybody in this world who has nothing to say, they will film it and put it online.
Yeah.
Gloriously. And some schmuck left his dog in his house that was being overrun by fire. I don't know the circumstance. So they filmed coming back and the dog had survived. And he was, oh, my God, you're alive. That was great. Oh, my God, he's so happy. In the back of my mind, I'm like, you left your fucking dog to be killed by fire, and you're actually filming that you're happy coming back. The dog is happy to see you. Like, yeah, let's go back to the part where you left your dog in the house that was about to be overrun by the fire.
Yeah.
In the back of my mind, I'm thinking the dog is like, you left me for dead, you fuckwit.
I know. Yeah,
like, you left, you abandoned me to die here. I'm definitely peeing on your shoes tonight.
And you know, he probably ran out of the house, like kind of screaming and running, like,
And I'm like, I could not foresee any circumstance on this planet that would make me abandon my dog to anything.
Mm-hmm.
Anything, nothing. I don't have my dog anymore, but if the house was on fire, he would be in my arms coming out the window.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just, No. I was like, I do not understand how we got from that. And then you're proud of it. I will just sneak in and thank the Lord that your dog is alive and not tell anybody that you left him behind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like we know some people who lost their homes there in the area, you know, and a couple that we know, they have their house. They lost everything. They didn't have much time to get out. It was just they knew about it when they knew about it and they had to make a run for it. They had 8 rescue dogs and they saved all the rescue dogs and not even anything else. That's all they had. So you know what I mean? Like that was the last thing. All they could do was grab their dogs and that's it. They lost everything. They couldn't grab a thing, you know, but they grabbed their dogs, you know?
Yeah. Our distributor, he left, he's lost his house too. I know, sent me videos of him trying with the garden hose and but that was a sad thing when in 2022, when the Russians were closing in on Kiev, a lot of people, they fled the town and they went to the railway station, buses and so the trains. And when they got there, they found out they couldn't bring their pets.
Oh.
So the railway station was overrun by all these dogs that had been left behind, which also pisses me off because I don't care. Then you stay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fine. Okay. Get the women and kids out, but staying with the dog. Or and then I want to find out who actually let them, who told them they couldn't bring their dog. Fine, you have a train full of, pack full of people and dogs. So what? It's just little things like that. And my understanding or discrimination or not of other cultures, like that's really simple with me. If you understand the concept of having a dog as a loving pet, that lives with you and is part of your family, that's my kind of, then you're okay with me.
Mm-hmm.
If you're the kind of culture that puts them in pots or have them chained outside, don't come near me.
Yeah, no, it's quite easy.
Love of animals. I'll just make that dictate my belief system. That's mm-hmm. fairly.
No, that's 100%. I totally agree. Yeah, that's the thing is, yeah, I mean, if it was just if I had to just kind of hide behind a wall with my dog, that would be like my last stand. Well, I would do it. I'm like, you know, there you go. Absolutely. You know,
you take responsibility for a life and then you are responsible for that life.
Whether yeah.
person, or you adopt a kid or you adopt a dog or I picked up a goldfish last week. Those. Like, how did the house get overrun? Like, what about the gold? Fine, we'll bring the goldfish out.
Yeah.
It's alive. We were there.
Yeah. That's a tough goldfish. Well, you know, something that I'm kind of going to be inspired by in advance, because I think we're seeing it, is like Aaron and I lived in California for quite a while and we lived in I lived in Pasadena, Altadena, La Cañada. I lived in the area, you know, and so is she, give or take here and there. So anyway, we know California. A lot of people don't quite understand that California is, people from a distance don't quite, they don't always understand the California culture, because there's a lot of California culture, like Central Coast winery culture, Central Coast beach, coastal culture. There's California is not just godless commies. It is not. Yeah.
It's actually a very, very red state.
It would be if the elections weren't rigged. I think it'd be red. I personally think so.
Because by number, there were more people that voted for Trump in California this year than in Texas. And almost the same in 2020. So, yeah, if we actually got the elections straightened out, I think they're still counting ballots for the last one here. It would
2016.
Well, things will change.
Yeah.
And I hope that they're talking about the new administration taking up with one day voting. It's a holiday, paper ballots, voter ID. Mm-hmm. If they manage to make that the law of the land, which, of course, no righteous American or any citizen of any nation would oppose, unless they have some nefarious reasons not to, because the whole virus discriminating to ask for ID. Why are you saying that Democrat voters can't handle the concept of getting an ID? I believe it's illegal, and you have to have an ID, mandatory to have an ID in this country, and you can get it for free if you don't have any money, I believe. So no, there's no excuse for not having an ID. None. Unless, of course, that's what they want. They want illegals to vote, which has been happening again many times. So yeah, there's no righteous excuse not to do that.
Yeah. So I think we're going to, and I think it's really a shift in, I'll call it a shift in consciousness, because it's like, my hope is I'm going to see, like, I'm going to think from the end, I'm going to envision it, is that I think California leads the country. So the thing is, I think it's like 65 years ahead of some states, 20 ahead of others, whatever, but it's like what happens in the West is going to come East. And so if this, you know, disaster, you know, I wonder if we'll just see a shift in consciousness. That's the best way to put it. Just people seeing things differently, having realizations, and just going, wow, you know, maybe this DEI stuff is silly. I mean, because if the culture shifts there, then it's going to come this way. And that to me would be wonderful.
I mean, it would be nice if we could actually start, but you're right. California has always somewhat set the trend, because that's where most of the media and celebrities come from. And that was great back in the 60s or the 50s, when the celebrities were patriotic Americans who loved their country, many of them military veterans who served. And mm-hmm. you had movies come out about America is great, communism is bad. Now we have movies coming out about how great communism is and how bad America is. So yeah, it would be nice if we actually started a little bit of a balanced turnaround. And I was if we had not miseducated our people for the past 20, 30, 40 years, we would have intelligent thinking individuals who would look around, who's causing problems, who's making this not work. Let's get rid of them and get somebody in. All surveys are false. All surveys, every voter or election survey, they're all false. They're all paid for by someone. Even the big institutes who said they have biased surveys and they do voter charts and questioning and all that, they're all false, because someone's paying for them, and you can skew any which one of them any direction you want, or you can find the demographic that'll answer the way you want. There's very few of them that are honest. Although some 42% of the California of LA voters still think the mayor has done a good job. And I'm like, okay, even if we cut that in half, say 20, who are these 20% that thinks that moron has done a good job? The woman doesn't understand what a website is, and you know what I'm referring to.
A URL. Go to URL. Yeah. Is
completely clueless. I mean, dear God, she has to go. She wanted mm-hmm. to cut $45 million more of the fire department, she posted last week before she left.
Wow.
So she did cut 17. She wanted 45 more. I mean, these people are completely incompetent and should be not anywhere near the levels of power. And the sad thing is, you see the same thing in Germany. You see the same thing in a lot of European countries, certainly in England, where you have people who are no longer governing for what is best for their population or for their country, or out of love of country, because they don't care about their country. They care about their globalist agenda. And yes, you have now gotten to the point where being a politician is, if you're smart and you have money and you have a business, you really don't want to be in politics. Just look at what they did to Trump. Well, how many people could go through that and still stand? So in Europe, now you have gotten the dumbest of the dumbest who floated to the top. And you see mm-hmm. the same thing in California. You have the worst of politicians. State been governed by Democrats, even if Arnold was sort of a Republican, sort of. God knows what he is now, since he seems to have his mouth run away with him saying dumb things. He's not popular. He's somewhere in between vote for Kamala and fuck your freedom. Yeah, go away. Just join the Democrat Party and go away. So
yeah,
he lost a lot of credibility on this, and which is interesting why Trump said it was what Mel Gibson and Stallone and to head the rebuild of Los Angeles. So maybe people will wake up and start understand, despite all the media propaganda to the opposite, because it is very few people's fault, and it is very easy to see. But people also have been dumbed down to the point where they're fairly, 2 years from now, there's an election. Maybe they forgot. And maybe they are not the 82,000 that had to evacuate or lost their house. Maybe it's the other 5 million here that are like, well, we kind of forgot what happened, and this guy with the nice hair, he's speaking, you know. It scares me how quickly Americans forget. What about the idiot in New York that now is running for Cuomo? Is it Cuomo that's coming back and running for mayor of New York? You can disappear from politics out of the worst scandal and then still come back. Because a couple of years later, everyone will have forgotten.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like,
how can you forget people who betray you?
Mm.
That's what I don't understand. And again, now we're back to that's not what heroes do.
It's not what heroes do. And that's true. Do. Yeah. And yeah, we don't have that memory. That's the problem is that I think like the goldfish you mentioned, I think humans are now, well, many, not all, but you know, a good number are really rivaling the attention span of a goldfish. And think I think goldfish actually have technically more of an attention span and memory. I think it's like 3 seconds and then like 3 minutes of memory or something like that. But really, yeah, make a person disappear for a week, come back, and oh, you know, well, he's for, you know, gender affirming babies, you know.
That's the memory hole from 1984.
The memory hole.
I mean, a goldfish you can train that if you feed him, if a certain person wearing a certain clothes feeds the goldfish every day, when that person goes by, the goldfish will follow him and trail him.
Yeah.
And you can train a goldfish, not negative, but here you can fill your Democrat states with illegal immigrants, with criminals, with rapists, with murderers, with people who terrorized the population. Crime is through the roof. You can pass laws that makes crime even better, even more and more crime by not letting criminals in jail, by keep letting them out. You can pass all this, makes everything exponentially worse for everybody. And then you can still have people go out and vote for the ones who just did that. And that's what I do not understand. It's like they do not have the cause and effect button. And like if you have a state that does this, like they've done here in California, it's been a nightmare for the past 4 years, where any kind of crime, a property crime under $950, you don't go to jail. You had the New York no bail laws. Guy killed two people and mutilated a third, his girlfriend. It happens again and again and again, and they're just being let out. How can you look at this when it's done by the same group of people constantly? And you keep voting for them. Well, if bad things happen to you, I must say it is your fault because you kept voting for them. And I don't understand how people can do that. If someone lets you down to that point, how in somebody's mind do you rehabilitate that person and vote for them again?
Yeah.
It's because for 4 years, I terrorized the state for 20 and now I want to be your president, but I have nice hair. You're an idiot.
Yeah, it's narrative above all. That's really what I think it comes down to. It's that, you know, people go, this is my narrative, you know, and that's it. As far as any ties to reality, cause and effect, it's irrelevant. You know, there's a lot of, it's kind of like a delusional reality bubble. You know, all I see is this narrative. And so it's unfortunate, but true. But maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll see a change in California. I'd love to see it. I mean, if there could be a consciousness shift from this event, if it could get moving, that would save the country. There you go. It would definitely help. So I'm rooting for it.
It would be very nice if that was actually, would actually be the truth. And it's funny because when it politics, and I was just looking up because I cannot for the life of me remember his name. The Roman general that defeated Hannibal.
Mm.
I feel terrible. I don't remember his name. No deal. Anyway.
Yeah.
damn it. All right. Never mind. I'll tell the story anyway, because here's what the type of hero you want is. I know the story would be better if I actually remembered his name. He was a retired general. He was one of the best generals the Romans had. And when Hannibal crossed the Alps and was pressing on Rome and all seemed lost, they went to his farm and rallied him to, please, you have to come back and lead the army and defeat Hannibal. No one else can do it. So he came out of retirement. He defeated Hannibal. He saved Rome. He was the greatest Roman, all the honors that could be bestowed on him. And they said, you saved Rome. You must be the new Caesar. Take the head of the country. You lead. And he said, nope, I've done my job. I've done what I'm supposed to. Now I'm going to go home to my farm. Next time there's a fire, call me. And I think that is the kind of politicians you want. You want the reluctant
leader,
the one that steps up because something has to be done, who doesn't want to. Because I could see, why would anybody want to be president unless you really want to change things? Yes, okay, there's an ego component in this. And I'm sure Trump, he wanted to be president because he wanted to be president. He achieved everything else. I don't begrudge him that. But from having changed parties, not to make this about Trump, but he does seem a little bit like this, the anti-politician who took the job because something had to be done to fix this. And that's what he's trying to, and despite all the flack and all the things they have thrown at him to destroy him for having, if he had run as a Democrat, no problem.
Yeah.
But he saw what the problem was. So he turned his back on that party. He was a Democrat most of his life and finally did what he did. And I think there's a little bit of that. And I think that that scares the left all over the world now because, and they're painting this, this right-wing boogeyman everywhere, where you actually need, where most of the what they refer to as extreme right wing is just really classic liberals who just wants to love their country and protect it from criminals and dangers and protect their population, like you that you see the AfD in Germany, where everyone's oh, extremist party, oh, extremist right wing, it's extreme, all the catchphrases they're throwing at them. And if you read the party platform, it's a basically a neoliberal, middle of the road, common sense party platform. There's nothing about invading Poland at all. Oh my God! I try not to stay do politics, but I try to compare politics to history. And as soon as when Trump he talked about the Greenland and Panama, I had Democrat friends. See, he's just like Hitler. He's gonna start or Canada. I was gonna annex Canada. I was like, oh, you're right. Here we go. We're gonna start annexing Canada. And a lot of them, especially foreign politicians, they have no idea what that really is all about.
Hmm.
So it really has nothing to do with buying Greenland. It's more about resources versus the Chinese getting them. Like annexing Canada. Of course, we're going to annex Canada, but holy crap, it's funny. It is hilarious to see the backlash. And a lot of times, that is so much fun because they really don't understand. They don't understand the humor behind it.
Yeah.
Like when the European politicians, they went all after him when he said, well, I just recently discovered Kamala Harris was black. No, you don't understand where that's coming from, because they just don't get it, which is a lot of fun that they really don't get it.
Oh,
because
yeah.
It makes fun for the rest of us to play with them.
Yeah. Governor Trudeau. That's so great, Governor Trudeau. Well, that's the thing. Well, Trump does tend to come out with these extremes, and then you know something I think is good. So I can be a bit of a pessimist at times. You know, sometimes saying that you're a realist is kind of being a closet pessimist, I guess. But yeah, whatever. You know, so it's kind of hard to sell me on good news or something being positive. And I think that I'm feeling positive. I wonder what you think. Here's a good heroic move on like Trump's part and his administration. I got to leave so much out when I say this, and I'm going to say something like very focused. And I know that I'm leaving out a universe of data, and I understand that. But just to be precise, you know, there has been so I keep, you know, YouTube friendly, because there's no sense in getting it kicked off. You know, there's a country that's been killing a lot of people next door, you know, that kind of has been doing their own version of Lebensraum, you know?
Yes.
And
countries like that, actually.
Yeah, there it's kind of happening a good deal, right? Well, this one's in the, you know, Middle East, and it starts with an I, you know? Yeah, and yeah. So something that I see happening there, I think, might be historic as he comes into office, because there has been a ceasefire, and I know there's a lot of ways of looking at that. I'll just say that there has been a ceasefire, and this could be maybe kind of the first treaty or the first, because there's no peace where there's no treaty, as the Art of War says. And I don't think that the eye in this wanted this to happen. And I think that just like Nixon, Reagan, even W. Bush, sometimes he called on the phone and said, stop, you know? And I think Trump is starting off his time in office kind of shooting a large cannon across the bow of a lot of interests that have a lot of power and saying that, you know, we're done killing, you know.
I mean, it was hilarious because 11 hours or 12 hours after it was official that he'd won the election, the other side called and said, all right, we're ready to negotiate.
Yeah.
It's like, no, ever since it was official, all right, he won. We all conceded it. There's no doubt about this. Nobody went to the White House anymore. No one talked to Biden and Kamala. They just tried to go straight to Florida. All the world leaders, all the people in business,
yes,
everybody like, oh, those people, no, forget about them. He started governing from the very next day.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's very, very interesting. It's a little bit like, or your parents are home. Oh, good. Let me talk to your dad. And it really does feel a little bit like, oh, thank God the adults are back home.
Yeah.
Whether you like him or not, looking at what the previous this administration have done of damage, whether you want to admit it or not, if you're a leftist, the damage they have done to American reputation, to the economy, by putting these complete whack jobs in every position, and I mean everything went to crap in a bucket the minute he was out, because everybody know that you want America wants to have a strong patriotic leader who doesn't take crap. Mm-hmm. And that does spill over to the rest of the world. And I think
it does.
Most certainly what happened down there in the Middle East now is a result of him having won the election.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very interesting that, and I kind of wanted to do a documentary on that. Just a little quick blurb, because you remember what happened when Ronald Reagan, he took office.
You had not exactly.
The Iranians had hostages, American yes. hostages for almost a year while Carter was in office. And Carter was probably a nice guy, but he was completely useless as a president. He was a complete wet noodle.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't let him out. They wouldn't let him go. The very day before Reagan took office, they released the hostages because they knew Reagan was not going to put up with it. And we're seeing the exact, as you saw, woke up this morning, saw hostages being released today. Trump's taking office tomorrow. Like, that is history repeating itself. And that is what happens when America has a strong, patriotic leader who doesn't take crap.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is probably the best thing we can do for the stability of the world right now, is having just exactly the right person in the exact right time. And one can say that if he had been allowed to win in 2020, it wouldn't have been as strong as a comeback as it is now.
Oh,
I think maybe, and I always remember what Rush Limbaugh, he said about some once people that would say, well, if we lose and the Democrats take everything, then people will see how bad they truly are, and then we can defeat them. And he always said, we don't win by losing, which is true. But okay, they stole an election, they won. We've seen how bad they are. Now, can we vote for somebody with common sense? So maybe that's what it had to take for enough people to actually start seeing, well, we may not like Trump, but these guys are crazy.
Yeah.
So it is it has an effect. I'm very curious to see if it will have an effect in the German elections, because they're terrified of Alternative for Deutschland.
Yeah, I mean, the AfD, I mean, I'm not as familiar with it as you are, of course. I mean, I have more of a superficial knowledge of it. But, you know, if Trump is a trend, you know, if kind of California leads the country, if California has a bit of an awakening and it goes east, great. You know, that would be wonderful. And then maybe people would start moving back to California. Get out of Arizona.
I think so, because, I mean, it's like I always said, I trust the good of human beings. I trust they have common sense in the end. But I really don't, because so many of them are morons.
Yeah, yeah. Some don't. Some don't. Yeah, yeah. Some don't.
Like, I believe in the end they will understand the true way. And like, no, they won't. They're idiots. No. However, I do think that maybe, if nothing else, this will make sure that Newsom will never be president.
I'll settle for that. That's a win right there. That's a good win thing.
Right there, because no matter how you twist and turn it, everywhere else around this country, they're looking at Newsom and go like, he did this. Even if they try to spin it in California as, oh, well, this is this and that. And this, no, it's you. He did it. You and your policies did this. Very simply, you rerouted the water. You wouldn't let people clean up the forests like everyone told you, because you wanted to save your fish, and you did this. You hired people who did this. Your administration hired people who did this. The local administrations hired people who did this. You guys did this. This could have been handled so much quicker, easier, and better, and faster. And it could have been prepared for, and it could have been averted, possibly. So there's no doubt for everyone who has just borderline common sense that he did this and he is to blame. So for running for president, that will be brought up. And I think enough people around the country, they don't want to. Everyone knows that California is drowning. So who wants to really be like California or New York these days? Even although it's funny that the New York mayor seems to, he's almost turning red, isn't he? And it's funny, when he came with it, was it Mayor Adams? Who was a, classic Democrat socialist. But soon, eventually he started coming around like, this is not working. My city's being overrun. And when he came out against the administration talking about, the very next day, his aide was arrested for, and then they went after him legally. Like good dictators they are, little dictatorship with a secret police, they went after him the moment he stepped off reservation.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, somebody really needs to clean up the Justice Department and the local Justice Departments in the various states, because we can't have this. We're not a banana republic. And I think hopefully, we're still hoping for a recall of the mayor and another recall of the governor here. We're trying.
Yeah.
But again, who counts the signatures and who verifies them?
Exactly. Well, leadership's a powerful thing. And, you know, with Trump, it's like I'm still a little bit in wait and see mode. But I think that, you know, most people I know from around the I had people from Turkey, from all different countries that I know were like pinging me when everyone knew that he won. And they were like, I'm so thankful, you know, because at least we have hope, you know, because like the guys in Turkey, I knew they were like, well, we're going to war in this direction or we're going to war in that direction or life's not looking good for us right now. And I don't want to die. I don't want my country to be at war. And with Trump, there is hope that we are not going to do that.
I see people with, and interesting, because everybody's like, oh, Trump, I don't like him. Like, and there's things Trump says that I would like, I wish you hadn't said that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, all right, fine. I see it more as symbolic. When I see a Trump hat or a Trump sticker or a Trump t-shirt,
yes.
I see it as a symbol of wanting something else. It's more a symbol of patriotism. I see Trump stickers in Czechia, in Poland, in France, in Germany. I see people with Trump hats in Austria, in Italy, in Norway. I see Trump hats, Trump t-shirts, which is really interesting, because it's a little bit like, okay, this may spread, because people may go like, okay, this is about every country should love their own country and
yes.
be patriotic towards that country and their own population. And the politicians of the West have let their populations down for decades. They have been going after a completely wrongful ideal of the globalist one government utopian idea they have. And they're using the green ideas and the environmentalism to hammer that home and to subjugate their populations. Now maybe, and people are tired of it. And now, maybe now this will be the inspiration across the board for a common sense governance based on love of country, could spring up in all the various European countries. I love Poland because they're so viciously patriotic. And they should be, because everybody has screwed them over at one point or another. interesting to see. What are they? They named French or French. You see Trump fries in Czechia and things like that. It's
really,
it's real thing. The funniest thing was I was crawling through a Maginot Line fort, abandoned fort, in the middle of nowhere, sitting outside of somewhere in Sabwork or somewhere, a fairly big fort, three big bastions. Big fighting towers. You go down, you get in one, you climb down 30 meters of stairs, and then you got tunnels to 30 meters to the other. So you have to go a couple hundred meters, 30 meters up. And in the middle of nowhere, down along the whole, the rail line, and then up in one of the fighting compartments, crawled up the rusty steel, the rusty stairs up to the steel dome. And in the very, one of the steel domes at the very back of this abandoned fort is a Trump sticker.
Oh, it's amazing.
And I'm like, you're really dedicated to come in here and put that up.
That's the point.
Okay. And I was just like, that was in France. So like, that's just, that's fun. It's like, okay.
Wow. Well, so that kind of goes to show that leadership, that movement, you know, because MAGA is bigger than Trump, right? Like, yes. It started there, but it's gone beyond. That's the thing. So you have... maybe the world will see like leadership again and like belief and optimism and stuff like that, because I think that kind of started to really change around the beginning of 2019. And maybe it's been changing since 1970, but all the same, I mean, it's recently changed. And this is the first chance we've had in, I'll say, a solid 4 years to have hope, optimism, yeah, patriotism.
And I think a lot of people that are pulling their hairs out, or women that are shaving their heads for God knows what reason in protest, no idea what that's all about. I think it won't be that long before they realize, well, no one's going to come round you up. Yeah, no one's going to come round you up. Though, we don't want to be killed by Trump. Like, what? The propaganda that these people have absorbed about what's going to happen if he won is so wrong. It is so insane what they've come to believe. That I guess the only way they're going to figure that out is by not being rounded up by the Trump secret police within the next 6 months and realize, oh, wait, we're not going to be rounded up and put in camps by Trump. Oh, maybe it's not so bad.
I think people that, you know, bless them, but like people that were kind of silly and ignored before will now not have the microphone. And that's going to be a good thing, because when you see people throwing like vegan, zero off-gassing paint on the Mona Lisa because it was made of petroleum products, you're like, dude, that was linseed oil. Okay, for one thing, that wasn't oil. And what you're doing is really messed up. Like, what kind of a statement is this other than you're absolutely crazy and you have no reverence for anything?
And the global warming debate is so full of flaws. So yes, there's a temperature rise. I won't argue that. Probably there seems to be, but is it man-made? Is it because Britain has 2% of emissions, which is nothing. They want it down to zero. The same thing here. I mean, the Western nations are so low in emissions to begin with. We're so clean. China has 40%. How about you start going after them? No, we're not going to buy your products unless you start producing them in a cleaner way. But what are you going to do if there's an extreme temperature changes on Earth? What do you need in order to survive that? You need lots and lots of energy. You need plentiful and cheap available energy to survive this. We will probably one day end up going nuclear and have plenty of energy and go electric across the board, but we're not there yet. And if you try to force that, people will die. Mm-hmm. And that's the interesting thing that nobody seems, if you talk to an environmentalist who doesn't believe in nuclear, then you know they're not serious about actually resolving the problem they think they're having. Which is like, no, if you don't want to do nuclear, you are not serious. And it's interesting because that's what I've been looking at, what the Germans were looking at throughout the end of the war. I think they were looking at the same thing for the same reason. And so now what is it? Google is opening Three Mile Island. And now they are. Google is opening Three Mile Island because they need more energy for their AI servers. That's another problem. Now you're going to hear that maybe we're going to start talking less about petroleum fuels and coal, because in order for AI to work, you're going to need an enormous amount of electricity. You're going to need more electricity that powers most cities in order for the server banks to keep running, in order for AI to actually be functional. So if you want AI, well, you need energy. So I'm wagering, and now we take a little bet on a cigar on this now, over the next 6 months, you're going to start hearing less and less about how bad fossil fuels and other fuels are, solid fuels are, because you can't have one without the other. So now maybe it's not so bad after all. Which is complete hypocrisy. Like, you idiots. You've been pushing this this narrative for so long. Now you go, oh, crap, we need it for AI. Oh, I guess we've got to start digging up some more coal now. So they're starting. They bought Three Mile Island.
Super that's safe. Amazing.
Right, yeah, I guess it was there. Nothing to see.
There'll be new Google barracks built there in a couple of weeks, you know.
Bill Gates put money in another nuclear power plant somewhere else. By the way, do you have any idea how quickly he got the permits to build a nuclear power plant as opposed to how long it's been taken? It takes decades to get the permits for a nuclear power plant. Well, not for Bill Gates and not for Google.
Oh, yeah. Well, so, and it's one of the things about government regulation and like electric vehicles is that we're seeing where... I guess I could just say let the market decide. One of the problems, and I forget there's a term for it and I forget what it is, but when the government regulates, then it insists and says you must do this. And the problem with that is that it's necessarily always even the most efficient thing. So and so it's been found that I think in like since 2022, it's like the interest, like in 2022, the interest in EVs was like 40% of people said that they might buy them. Now it's down to like 18%. So people don't want them because of a myriad of reasons, you know. Yes. And you know, basically a lot of people don't want to drive like, you know, compressed napalm. I don't want to drive. And so the thing is it has been found, of course, that, you know, the batteries themselves, oh, here's a big one. So electric vehicles create new wars because they create new competition for resources.
Yes, and you need demands for new resources that are usually having to be fought over.
Yeah, some are in Ukraine, some are
if you want to talk about how we have to protect the environment or the indigenous people, having little African children to dig up mercury and other by some local warlords while polluting the entire infrastructure there, I don't think you find it's not polluting in your country, but it's destroying that entire region. So
yeah,
why don't you take your hypocritic green stuff and stick it? Because people are dying, so you can get your damn hybrid.
Yeah, and it's the thing is we're, it's called the Western world, America. You know, we're very good at exporting our environmental devastation and then blaming other nations for it. You know, look how terrible they are while they drive their Tesla. I'm like, oh my God, that's as disgusting as like the royal couple going to California there and hugging their staff, you know, and getting selfies, you know. And so, but yeah, so hybrids have been found to be, even though they have batteries, the batteries are much smaller. They're not quite the bombs that the straight EVs are.
Or electric cars. But,
It
pollutes more to build these vehicles than
regular. Yeah.
It pollutes more to build a Prius than a Mercedes S-Class.
100%. And so.
And then you go, well, it needs to be charged. Yeah, where do you think that's coming from?
Yeah, in the end, somebody's burning coal somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, well, they're burning coal somewhere else. It's, you know, and that's the thing. So there you go. People having the attention span of a goldfish and the intelligence. It's like, well, where do you think that less electricity comes from? You know,
what about how you destroy the wildlife with all these stupid windmills you see all over Europe and the solar panels are really not very sightly. But that's also destroyed. Birds are getting killed, and there's all sorts of problems, environmental problems to people who live near. Have you ever been near a windmill? That constant hum drives you nuts. It's not the fix. They always go overboard in any direction that's not the right one, instead of actually trying to figure it out before they make a choice. It's very interesting. But that's what leadership is all about.
And there you go. So maybe we're entering a time of leadership. So I don't know. That's kind of inspiring, the idea that we could see. Yeah, the AfD, they're in Germany. I mean, maybe they might not put up with their pipelines being blown up and stuff like that. Yeah, you know, it's like because you got little you know, Biden standing there saying, yeah, oh, don't worry, that oil's, you know, we have a plan and Germany's not screwing it up, right, Schultz? Oh yeah.
and trying to blame that on a handful of Ukrainian civilians who learned how to dive and then went out in a little boat and then really.
Yeah, it's kind of like believing that some guys who could hardly land a Cessna.
like, seriously, yeah. CIA, you have got to start coming up with better cover stories. You've intercepted enough Hollywood scripts that you should be able to come up with something better.
Yeah. Couldn't you guys hire what was it, Lynch, the amazing director that recently passed away just like a day or so ago? Mm. Oh, what was it? I think it's David. He did Blue Velvet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and he's kind of a casualty of the fires because I guess it was believed that he had bad emphysema, and I think the smoke got him, you know, which is very sad. Yeah. They could have hired him, right? I mean, you know, you could at least get some good directors for this stuff.
I have a theory that at some point there will be a whole lot of Hollywood screenwriters coming out of retirees from the NSA. Because they intercept all the emails by catchphrases and catchwords. And if any action script will have, you know, war, terrorism, explosion, bomb, things like that in it. So eventually all the scripts we bounce between each other will get flagged and read. And sooner or later, they'll probably be captured by someone of the NSA who will then 20 years later publish them as their own. I'm just thinking out loud.
Oh yeah, I think so. Oh my gosh. Well, yeah, I think we're definitely hopefully some humor is inspiring people, but I think that maybe that's a great inspiration right there, that now there's hope. I think that, you know, like it's like when you're doing like BJJ, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and you're getting choked out, you know, you tap your hand like, and you got me, right? I think that the whole damn world was kind of doing that, like, all right. And now they got their air back, you know, they can breathe, and they're looking at, I guess, hope, you know?
At least we have a slowdown of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this, if the fires will not be the death of DEI, I really don't know what will be. Because if anything demonstrates that you cannot have DEI, first of all, it should, as far as I know, it's unconstitutional. It's also illegal to discriminate people against their race, as far as I know. And now the people are dying and half of a town burnt down. That really should pretty much wake people up. All right, maybe we should start hiring competent people instead of the other kind. And Lord knows, I will not have a problem with, if I don't ever have to see a chief of staff in a dress or a chief of atomic waste disposal in America with being a bald man with a mustache, red lipstick, and a dress, you know what? I'm okay if I never see that again. Because people around the world are looking at this and go like, I don't think we want to talk to these people. They will take Trump serious. How can you possibly take the other kind serious?
Yeah.
I mean, I have gay friends who are going like, it's just like, please don't label us as them. We're and that's funny. Like, I have gay friends that know we're just gay. Yeah. We're not like that, we're just gay. Like,
that's a t-shirt that has to be made for the gay community. Just gay.
I'm not one of them. I'm just gay.
I'm just gay. I'm just gay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm old school.
I'm counting on my gay friends to introduce me to their cute single girlfriends, because that's what you have. As a guy, that's what you have gay friends for, and they'll tell you how to dress.
Yeah.
I mean, although half of the gay friends I know, they're like biker dudes, so I guess I can't take fashion advice from them.
Yeah. But at least I can tell you, you know, like what kind of haircut to get. You might want to, you know, something like that. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, you mentioned like two things. I don't want to keep you forever. You know, thanks for being on. And, you know, I think we're inspiring people, even if they don't like it. And you know, you mentioned a shop. Dude, you have a shop there in Southern California?
I tinker with my motorcycles up at anybody's shop up here, you know. Biker dudes. My friend, he built the Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man bike, and he's got a shop not far from here. So whenever I have screws falling off my Harley and stuff, I'll go hang out there and have a beer and talk to the dogs, get a little dog therapy.
Oh, yeah.
swap meets and sell bike parts and stuff. It's fun and it's you know, what guys do.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm still looking for my classic car that I don't know why. I don't understand why bike and car events always happen starting at 7 in the morning.
Damn it. 7 in the morning.
Why can't we do this at 9 to 3? Why is it 7 to 1? Why do I have to get up at 4 in the morning in order to go set up a shot with stand in line or something? Can't we do this like in the afternoon?
Yeah.
Or at noon? You get there at noon, everybody starts packing up and going home. Like, like sleep one day a week and still go do something fun. But
Well, that's the most, you know, that is something actually that's inspiring is, and I think it's something that's being, actually, I know it's something that's being lost, but I think we can turn it around. Is that hobbies, interest, curiosity, you know, hobbies like, you know, my family's got like one of the oldest hobby stores in the East Coast. It's been open since like, gosh, before 1970, I think the 50s. It's called Simpson's Hobby Shop. It's there in Wilmington, Delaware. And it's existed, you know, ever since then. And my dad is 96 and he still runs it. Model cars, model planes, RC cars, RC planes, railroad, you know, like HO scale, N gauge. I mean, all the stuff you need, like scientific equipment, beakers, test tubes, model paints, of course. So you name it, like all of that stuff is there. It's huge. It's just Simpson's Hobby Shop. And been there forever. And one of the things that my dad laments is that the kids don't have curiosity. They don't have interest. And they're getting ready to actually probably, part of it's because he's getting old, but also closing the store because it's just flatlined in the last few years. And it's very sad that especially the youth don't have curiosity and interest. They don't have hobbies.
It's all about computer games and instead of building something with your hands. But on that, I have another little bit of hope that I have heard two things, and that's international, and that's not just here. In the West, that the young generation, the teenage generation, whatever they're called now, because I don't even care what they're labeled as, the teenagers now, the ones who were teenagers or in school during COVID, who had to endure all that BS, are coming out conservative.
Amen.
They're coming out to the right. They are coming for common sense, and they're going more to trade colleges, trade schools, learning a craft instead of just going to college and learning nothing. Mm-hmm. And also, like same thing in Germany. It's the young generation, the ones who's actually faced with the problems.
Yes,
seeing how they got screwed over and lied to, as if we had enough. And I think if that is a trend that continues. Now you have a young generation of teenagers that are growing up smarter than their parents, who still haven't figured out who to vote for, who started to like, no, we have to have common sense. We have to learn a craft. We have to learn to do things. And that's the problem we're having here. Nobody has that can build things and do things and fix things. And I think that's how we were great many times over. This is American. America has been great because we can fix things. We can build things. We can do things. And well, I think that's pretty sure that's one of Trump's pet peeves is bringing manufacturing back to America. And I think that is important for every country. And you see the same thing in Ukraine. Ukrainians are incredibly industrious. Mm-hmm. My God. So are the Russians. So are the Polish. So the Eastern European countries, they can fix stuff. I mean, you may have come out with a boat engine tacked onto your Toyota or something to make it run, but they'll make it run. And when you lose that as a society, the power went out. Well, I guess we're going to figure something out. When you lose that, what do you do in a big city when the power goes out and people can't figure out how to open a can of food because they don't know how a can opener works, unless the electricity's on? You have to bring the know-how back. You have to get kids into trade schools, construction, and learn how to build and fix and cars and things. And I've heard some hope that is slowly returning, or that pendulum is swinging a little bit. Also, considering how useless the college educations generally are now, certainly they're not worth the money. Go learn a craft.
Yeah. And that's the thing, apprenticeships, you know, there's an incredible, like one of the, I'll say one, a very inspiring thing I'll call it. Like one of the greatest things I think that a person with skill can do is help someone who doesn't, especially somebody who's young. You know, I look at a lot of my success in life, and I had an older brother who showed me how to work on engines, rebuild transmissions, you know, there at the shop that it was owned by the family, but I was able to go there as a kid. And there I am, you know, 14 years old, you know, torquing down head bolts and such. And that is a huge foundation of my success in life, was that interest. I mean, he was busy, he had stuff to do, but he took that time and went, all right, you're a pain in the ass, but I'll show you how to do it.
Yeah. And you have the wood shop and things.
Yes.
You have to bring that back into schools to give kids that, the sense of building something.
Yes.
Nothing is more awesome than building something. I spent my whole youth building toys and tanks and dioramas and battleships and stuff that are on expo at the local hobby shop that is
no cool. Really? Oh, wow.
That's kind of what I grew up doing, because when I was a kid, I thought that was great. And I think you're right. The more you learn from people who can fix things, not just do computer stuff, because computer stuff is not really real stuff.
It's not life. Not
interaction. You build the digital house. You build a house. There's a damn difference. Also for the survivability, if anything ever happens. And I don't know. I'm from a generation where I always think of, all right, what's the worst thing that can happen? And what am I going to do about it if it does? Am I prepared for that? If it's an emergency, power outage, my computer is backed up. Do I have candles? Do I have a light? Do I do that? If the building catches fire, what am I going to grab with something that, what do I grab? I have 5 minutes to get on. What do I grab? What's the most important thing? Well, let's consolidate this and that and that. You war game your life.
Yeah, there you go.
Like I always say to people, a lot of people, they spend way too much time going through stress. And I keep seeing these ads for psychology and for therapists, and everybody have their own therapist. And it's very troubling to me, especially when they talk about, adverse childhood experience. What the hell is that? I haven't been in psychology. I never heard of that. That heard a lot of bad things happen to you when you're a kid. Yeah, you're a kid. Everything that's bad is adverse. When you don't get your lollipop when you want one, that's an adverse experience, because you don't have a good memory of not getting your damn lollipop. Is this something that when you're 30 years old, you're going to have a psychiatrist bring up and turn into a huge traumatic event that will now impact you, even though it's like it really wasn't an event? If you screwed up as your kid and your dad spanked you, is that an adverse experience that you now need to relive and you have probably... No, that was never like that. And like the psychiatry I studied back then has nothing to do with how psychiatry is studied today, which is very interesting, because today it seems that you are trying to make everybody okay with whatever they believe in. Oh, you believe you're a squirrel? Oh, well, you know, I am, you should be happy, baby, a proud squirrel, but da, 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 da. When I studied this, you had people who generally had problems, rape victims, people who had trauma, bad things happen to them, and you help them be okay with what happened, with who they are, and how to move on with their life. Give them tools to move on. Say, yes, this happened. It was a bad day, bad time. You're a different person now. You can move on. This is how you learn to live with it. That's not what they do today. They reinforce these bad ideas or these traumas and make them worse today. That is not helping anybody. That's very troubling to me when I see that. Instead of just trying to teach people to get on and be pragmatic and again, war game your life a little bit, plan ahead. It always reminds me of the November ads. Pay no interest until next year. Uh-huh. Your interest is 43%, but you'll be fine. You don't have to pay for the next 2 months. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And if you don't learn this in school or learn basic economics early on, now we have $1 trillion, $1 trillion in credit card debt in America. How is that possible? $1 trillion in credit card debt amongst Americans. I think I have $45 on my credit card right now. And don't buy things you can't afford.
Yeah.
And if you can't afford them, then don't buy them. If you really have an emergency, well, okay, fine, use your credit card and then pay it off. But don't buy things you, and it's always troubling to me when you have that very complete collapse of common sense. And then it comes back to bite their ass and they're like, well, I have to go bankrupt because I kept borrowing or buying stuff I couldn't afford. And now I have $30,000 in credit card debt and I lost my job. Okay. Well, that was really stupid of you to go there. How did that happen? Is I always said, well, people who get really fat. Well, at what point after you couldn't see your toes anymore, did you start realizing you might, maybe you should stop eating, start exercising? Again, like the warning signs for most bad things happen are there, but people ignore them. And I don't think people, they did ignore them in the same way 50 years ago.
No.
I don't think, and I was raised to think all these thoughts. And I don't exactly know if there's one catalyst or one person, except it was just common sense.
Yeah. Well, also being a little bit tough, like, you know, I think that in our society where we've got, I won't call it immigration because that's something different. When you have like targeted destruction of culture in place by, you know, importing people to it that are incompatible with it.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, it's like that's not immigration, that's something else, right? To me at least. And
it is a deliberate relocation of people to the west,
with a specific purpose in mind, you know. And so that's the thing I think also, like with what you're saying, being a little tough, like wargaming your life, that's something that I think people need to do, along with having interest and curiosity. Work on metal, especially if you're a guy. Get your Harley, get your old I want to get a Norton Commando, about a 70s one would be really cool, you know. Like I've got my muscle car that I'm working on, my muscle truck. Like, work on metal, do something powerful, have interest, have hobbies. But along with that, I think it's really important to be a little tough. I mean, this is different for everybody, but with what you're saying, it's like be the MMA dude, you know. Like be a little tough, because you might walk in a, you know, you can be walking down the street and walk into a bad situation, especially with the world the way it is. Maybe maybe someone doesn't like your MAGA hat, or maybe there's a crackhead that has decided that you are the demon or something. You know, you might need to be tough. And are you ready for that? I mean, because I think the MMA man, like whatever it might be, if you like Aikido, if you like karate, if you like BJJ, you like hugging dudes, whatever. if you like that, do it, because you're going to feel a lot more. If you know something when you're attacked, it's a whole different story than if you just know nothing.
If you're a man, learn how to fight.
Yes.
Doesn't necessarily mean that you have to run around and beat people up, but learn how to fight, because there are people out there who likes to fight.
Yeah.
And the same thing for women at this point.
You need to think
about self-defense. And I tell my friends, and if it was Norway or it's England, like, do you have mace? Oh, it's not allowed. And I'm like, okay, do you care? Then carry hairspray. It's worse on the eyes. But do you carry anything to defend yourself? No. Like, think that thought, because that's what I absolutely do not understand and will never excuse Western politicians for. I know the forced relocation of all these people starts with the UN. It's their big plan to relocate everything, redistribution of wealth. And it has come from the UN. The UN is handling this, and they're funneling these people to different places. It's all forced. The Soros is those people. And there's no doubt about that. It's not like this up for debate. It is.
Mm-hmm.
But when you are in a government, if you are in charge, if you are a president of your country, whether it be England or Norway or Germany or wherever it is, when you have immigrants in your country who break the law, why are they not immediately expelled or go to prison first and then expelled? Because if any normal society, if you are a foreigner coming to any normal country, you break the law, I would be expected to be kicked out, because I have definitely overstayed my welcome. Why do you have serial criminals, serial rapists, serial murderers running free in Western countries who have proved themselves a liability or a violent or a criminal in your country, and you don't kick them out? I know conservatives are generally very docile, always turn the other cheek and all that nonsense. And people, well, you know, if we send them back home, he may be killed at home. I don't care. I truly don't care. If you come to my country, you rape somebody, and you go home to a death sentence, well, please let me expedite you there. But why are we like sanctuary cities? There are, and I know personally, of victims that was raped or murdered by immigrants here that are living safely in Newsom sanctuary cities. They will not be kicked out, while the families of their victims are now witness protection. Why hell is that even? Why? What righteous politician? And you see it in the UK, you see it in all European countries. All of these violent immigrants are not being expelled. That defies any kind of common sense. It defies any kind of, there's no valid reason. Well, we don't be called racist. I don't care. They're criminals. Well, they're not integrated. They're from a different place. I don't care. Because if you are an adult that's capable of violence against others, you know that you're tormenting another person. I don't care what culture you come from. Mm-hmm. You know. If you're a dog and you bite somebody in self-defense, or you bite somebody, all right, you're a dog. There's a reason why you did this. If you're a person that prey on innocents or women and children, you know that you're doing harm to them. I don't care what you, what kind of integration do you need to for you to understand that? Now, I don't understand the politicians, and I do understand the people who keep voting for these politicians to stay in office. That is, to me, is a treason, if you ask me personally. You have to watch out for your own population are your first priority. And again, thinking out loud, I thought, well, I have several rich friends that are very wealthy that lives up in the Palisades, and they can now return to their homes. Fortunately, haven't burned, but they don't have electricity. I said, well, why don't you have a generator?
Yeah, well, exactly.
You know, like, why don't you have a generator? You have money. You're a multimillionaire. You have a huge house. Why don't you have a generator? In California, you know the power goes out every other couple of weeks anyway.
But they got a Tesla.
If you get the generator, do you then know how to operate it and clean it and service it? Figure it out. Or we'll have people to do that. No, figure it out for yourself before. Yes, fine. You have money. You can hire people to do things. But you still have to know it yourself. Because if your neighborhood's on fire and the power goes out, you're not going to call Juan to come because he's got enough trouble on his own. Thinking ahead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. It's so true. Yeah.
That's what happens when you get me started.
I like it. It's good. It is
again, you live a life detriment to common sense, and it doesn't matter.
As I've heard it referenced, and I forget who actually said this, was the people in California had a crap ton of luxury beliefs.
Yeah.
That don't really hold up in the real world, that when reality comes, it doesn't work.
I mean, and DEI is a luxury belief.
It's a luxury belief.
It sounds so good for some of these people until something actually goes sideways. Because then all of a sudden you have incompetent people at the helm, and now your ship crashes. Absolutely. I'm not talking about the Australian ship that crashed with a DEI captain who sank her battleship, warship, frigate, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Or the all-female crew that crashed that radar plane off Hawaii. And it's like, don't get me, I had my big company, when I had my big company, it was two women running that. I have no problem having women boss, but they were the best for the job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah. And it really is you can look at DEI as being the height of like the very max of really sexism and racism, because you find the most incompetent black lesbian in the world and you hire them. Well, that doesn't help.
Apparently the fire department. Yes.
Yeah. That doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help anybody.
And the thing is, speaking of the fat black lesbian you were talking about, specifically the one in the fire department, the second in command of the fire department out here, who get $400,000 a year. And she said, I'm sure everybody have by now seen that clip of her saying that, well, if your husband gets caught in a fire, that's really his own fault. I don't understand why this woman have not been fired. Yeah. This woman needs to not have a job. And she needed to not have a job the moment that came out in public. Mm-hmm. And that's what I mean. It's if you hire people that are minorities who still are good at their job and competent at the job and believe in doing the job and capable of it, fine.
Boom.
But you cannot just exclude everybody because they're white or apparently Asian and then hire. We have a Supreme Court judge who can't define what a woman is. I say we have some problems here. But that woman, if she's not dedicated to save lives as a firefighter, why on earth is she a firefighter? DEI or not? At least could the DEI hires pretend that they are actually dedicated to doing their job and not just to expand their own dating pool by hiring mm-hmm. more like them, which seems to be their only priority. Because when the mayor cut $17 million from the fire department budget and she had to lay off firefighters, they just announced, well, we're going to stop laying off firefighters for a while. Well, really? Oh, my God. Really? Oh, that's a problem. You're good choice, Newsom. They're going to say, I can't believe this. That even you really want to announce that right now? Maybe you should just shut up and do it. But the DEI bureau in the fire department, they didn't cut any jobs there. They cut the mechanics. They cut the aerial assets, the training, the maintenance. But they didn't cut all the people who are not actually fighting fire, but in charge of the DEI bureau that they set up a couple of years ago.
Mm.
So the priority is not to save lives or fight fires. It is just to expand their DEI dating pool within their own organization, which they all brag about instead of bragging about how much better they are doing their job.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's unreal that they don't even see it themselves. At least if you gave me a job that I wasn't qualified for and paid me $500,000 a year, I would at least talk as if I really believed it. I mean,
yeah, or try to do it well.
Start reading up on it a whole lot.
Yeah, at least like have some interest in what your job is supposed to be. You right. know?
Although I probably wouldn't take a job that entails saving lives in a specific way if I didn't know how to, because I really didn't want to be in that position.
Yeah, and rather than just like make up your own rules where, oh, there's, you know, oh, look, there's people trapped in a car. It's on fire. It's upside down. Well, looks like they fucked themselves. You know, that's the new rules.
That seems to be a you problem.
Yeah. You know, it's so, yeah, we can't make up, new rules for an old game.
From the tragedy, at least, hopefully people will start to understand that.
I hope they certainly do. I think it's possible. I'm going to at least hope for it, because I think that if that shift changes in California, that will move east. And especially with now, maybe world under better leadership, under more hope. You got AFD in Germany. I mean, if there's leadership in the West, like a Trump, maybe AFD will make it in Germany, and it'll just keep happening.
Maybe if Trump will stop the State Department and the various agencies and meddling in foreign elections and trying to rig them for the left, like they did in Brazil, maybe that would help. That's why all the Europeans and the EU and the UN are screaming about, well, we must have online censorship. Why? You don't like free speech about what your people are doing as opposed to what should be done? And that's the problem. So that's why they're going after Twitter and everything, because they don't like the honesty. They don't want to have honest conversations because they know what they're doing is terrible. Which then makes me wonder, well, why do you keep doing it then?
Because they like it, yeah.
It's more important than the lives of your population, which again is, why are you then in office? Why are you, who are these people? And it seems like, again, the unelected EU or UN bureaucrats that I keep passing laws around the world, they're unelected. Maybe it's time to vote on their stupid ideas on a global scale. Because I don't want to have somebody I didn't vote for or nobody voted for, who I have no idea who is, wake up in the morning to some new rule that some bureaucrat put, who have no idea what the hell he's talking about or she's talking about, squeeze down over my ears, going, now you do this. Like, why?
Yeah. Well, it's like, I think Mark Feldman has mentioned it and you've mentioned it, that like the EU is the new, really is what became the Fourth Reich. Yeah, and so if you look at it, well, then honestly, like the WEF itself and what's happening, that's just the greater version of it.
Oh yeah. I mean, it is. And it was the same people. I mean, it was Himmler's idea that created in 1942 that created the concept of the European Union as a greater financial union, as a way to govern all European countries under one yoke. And the guy who came up with that was the first general secretary of the EEC. Well, he developed it for Himmler. And he's the one that that became the first general secretary. And half of the people in the Adenauer cabinet were all Nazis. I mean, and that's fine. They were civil servants before, police officers before. Then Hitler came along and they all became Nazis. And then after that, they all stopped being Nazis and went back to continue doing what they've been doing all along. Sometimes you have to have competent leaders, and sometimes they have a compromised background. It's just odd that so many people around the table from so many countries around the creation of the EU are old Nazi national socialists. And it doesn't seem, because one thing you have to remember in World War II is that the German Navy surrendered, the Air Force surrendered, the SS surrendered, the Army surrendered, but the party didn't surrender. They moved all their assets out with all their friends, and then they moved them all back again after the dust had settled and rebuilt. And that's where that's all that money that had been exported out before the end that couldn't be seized. Then after all that had ended, it came back. That's why Germany was able to rebuild so quickly. And they are the ones who were the driving force for the EEC. I started with the EEC and then the EU. So, yes, I firmly believe that. It's just interesting that it was based on, I guess there was a racial component to at least the belief system of the Germans. That certainly have changed.
But yeah, I would say so, a bit. No, but
it really does seem like the socialists, the communists won, because it seems that the UN, the EU is run on a socialist, almost neo-Marxist communist basis, that we have to redistribute wealth to everybody. You have to destroy the Western industrialized world and give it to all the poor so everybody's equal. And I keep thinking, okay, you must be a communist to sit in the EU or the UN and believe this, because you cannot be an industrialist. Because if you destroy Western economy or Western productivity, or even the West economic foundation, you can't sell your products to anybody. So this can't be about cheap labor in the end, because you are actually destroying the country that will eventually fail. And the only belief system that ever wanted only to destroy without a reasonable plan for restructuring and rebuilding is communists. Well, they've always done. They've destroyed everything they touch, and without really much of a plan other than the mayhem in itself. Was it both Mao and Stalin or Lenin that said the revolution is continuous, it never ends? So it's just about the destruction of the bourgeoisie, the destruction of the industrialists, of the capables, in favor of just the revolution, which is not really something you'd want as a global ideal, I would think.
I don't prefer it. Yeah, I definitely don't prefer it, but we see it happening. And so that'll be my hope, is maybe the fires in California will pay off, and maybe the AFD will pay off. Maybe we'll see a change. I mean, I can be optimistic and hope. I'll see what happens, but I don't know. I'm sensing a change in the tone of things. I mean,
No, that's kind of what I'm hoping. We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. Well, we can always, I'll let you get out of here because I don't want to keep you all night. But one thing I was going to mention was Eric Hartmann, The Blonde Lineage of Germany. Great book to read. I was checking it out again. I hadn't read it in quite a while. I thought I'd read it again. And one of the things where he kind of inspires me is that, or does inspire me, was that this guy, well, he was an amazing pilot. He kicked ass. But what gets me is when he was in prison camps, when he was, he captured by the Americans, given to the Russians, pretty damn raw deal there. But when he would be moved to a different camp, or when he would actually inspire the people there to have hope, just because he was such kind of a badass, basically. And that was one of the things that I picked up from that book. So, I mean, if your presence gives people in a prison camp hope, they feel like, well, I might be in a Russian prison camp, but so is Eric Hartman. Like, now I'm a badass, you know? I mean, that's about as hardcore as leadership gets, by example. I mean,
there are amazing heroics that have been committed that we'll never hear of.
Yes.
There are amazing heroics that happened during basically all wars of people who selflessly sacrificed themselves, or more certainly mm-hmm. almost did. And it's interesting because when you read, and I did for a while, I would read every week a Medal of Honor citation. Mm. I sort of stopped because there didn't seem to be much interest. Again, no one drives it to it. So like, all right, fine. But you look at the people who have the Medal of Honor. And then you look at all the people who have done more, but were never recognized, because somebody asked once, well, how do you get a Medal of Honor? What do you have to do? And that's when you get politics into it, because there were some enormously heroic people that we'll never hear of, because all their officers who could put them in for the medal had died. For instance, there are people who were never put in for a Medal of Honor because there's no one left alive to put them in. Then you have them put in, and if then, of course, you have to have, well, somebody have to draw attention to that particular piece of heroic. Why does he deserve a Medal of Honor more than others? If who's lobbying for it? Is there a campaign for this particular person to get a Medal of Honor to draw him out from obscurity? And so certainly not everybody who has deserved one have gotten one. And a lot of people who have individual small steps of bravery have never been recognized. What will be the change you want to see around you? Mm-hmm. And I always remember growing up watching the leftist TV show, MASH. Alan Alda, speaking of leftists, yeah. He said in one show that I always enjoyed, when somebody asked him, Hawkeye, do you want to save the entire world? And he said, no, just my little corner of it. And I think that's what everybody needs to aspire to, is make your little corner a better place. What you can touch, what you have around you, the people you have around you. If you're in the gym and somebody looks down, ask them how they're doing. If you see a little lady who needs help across the street, help her. Make that change yourself. And everybody steps up and tries to make their little corner a better place, or help somebody who needs it, save somebody who needs that. That's all we can really do. But again, we're back to men learn how to fight. You'll have more of a backbone to step up and stand up for what you believe. Because if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Hence the communists.
Yeah. And
you have to have a little bit of backbone to stand up to someone who is wrong, especially if they come off in a position of power or strength or bullies or what have you. And I think that, again, that is a societal change that where we need to look at. We need to inspire the young generation to make the difference, to step up and take a chance, to step forward, to take initiative, instead of the generation that's grown up to, well, the state will fix it for me.
Mm.
The country will take care of me. The state, the mayor, the government, the unemployment, whatever. They will take care of me. No, you have to start changing that mindset, that you have to take care of you, and you have to take care of the people around you who are not strong enough to. If you can, it's like, if it's within the length of your cable toe, help people around you and make that change, even if it's small things. And that's when you get to the everyday little heroes. At this point in time, you're almost a hero. You like, if I don't take public transportation, if I can, damn well avoid it. But if I'm in a public place or in an office somewhere and there's a woman that walks in, I will vacate my chair. Because I am a man, and of course I will. I'm not going to leave a woman standing if I can help it. A little bit of chivalry.
Yeah.
It goes a long way. And I think we're actually sad that we're at the point where I ran across the gym today because a woman was trying to move something, and I went all the way across the gym to ask if she needed help. And I'm like, why? You're struggling with it. Like, I can go to the gym and pay attention to other things than me and my mirror image. I can actually look around and see, okay, somebody looks like she needs help with something, because that's who you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And so it's like everybody can be their own little hero. They just have to step up and believe they can make a difference, or at least try.
Yeah, like you said, be the change you want to see. Like, you know, be the badass you want to see in the world, because you can do it.
I'm saying that because I'm pretty sure some communist probably said that. Did Obama say that? Somebody I don't like said that, but
yeah, be the genocidal murderer you want to see in the world. Yes. Don't think someone else is going to do it for you. Oh gosh, well, that's a great place to leave it. I don't want to keep you all night. I think we've inspired people. I think we've definitely had fun, if nothing else, and I hope people got some laughs and walk away feeling a little bit better. You know, go out there and be a badass. All right.
I'll talk to you.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.